snap. Placement. Kick on the way. Towards the uprights. It is no good! He missed it wide right! No good! And the Jets have new life! Yeah! 28-yard field goal just inside the left hash to send the Jets to the divisional round. The snap, the placement, the kick on the way. Good! And the Jets win it in overtime. Gangrene sideline explodes.
My God, my life has flown by. I was like, when we pulled that from olden radio cuts. I'm like, oh, wait, what? How long ago was that? Yeah, the voice on that is Bob Wischusen. Bob is the voice of the Jets. He joins Cofield and Company here in Vegas. How you doing, Bob?
Yeah, that call is actually so old that I think there was a time that that call was embedded in, like, Jets barbecue forks and can openers. That game-winning field goal. And those samples, of course, made their way to my house. So, like, every time somebody in my house would open a beer from off in the other room, I would hear myself screaming that field goal call. So, yeah, that brings back some barbecue memories for me. I appreciate it.
Hey, you were thinking at the time, you're like, oh, this will be every year. Eh, not quite.
Not quite.
No. That was way back. Am I right? That was 2004?
Yeah, that was 2004. That was, you know, still when Herm Edwards was the coach. And then the last time that the Jets made it to the playoffs even, much less deep into the playoffs, they went to back-to-back championship games with Rex Ryan. And that was in his first 2 years.
Yep.
And then he coached them for 4 years, and Todd Bowles coached them for four more years, and they haven't been back since. The funny part about it, just to show you the dominance of the Patriots, is I was the Jet pre- and post-game host starting in 1997 and became the full-time radio play-by-play guy in 2002. And in 2002, they won the division. They started off the year 2-5 and came all the way back, and on the last day of the season won the division. So they played a wild card game the following week at home. That is still the only home playoff game I've ever called.
Oh, my God.
And that was in 2002.
Wow.
So that's just life with the Patriots in your division. Like, nobody gets to play a playoff game at home other than them. Even if you make it to the playoffs, you know you're going to be on the road because there's no way you're going to beat them for the division, and that's the only way you get a home game.
That's crazy, and you'd be surprised to hear how much we talk Jets and, well, Bills. We used to talk a lot of Bills because my partner and I are Jets and Bills fans, and every year we come into the season, we're like, all right, this is going to be the year that Brady starts to fall off. And now I don't feel comfortable saying he's going to fall off, like, anytime soon.
No, I mean, the style that he plays, as long as he can kind of keep his legs in shape, you know, that's what it's funny. When you talk to quarterbacks, and, you know, I work with Brock Heward, you know, doing ESPN games every week, and, I mean, he hasn't played competitive football in a decade. And you just get out on a field with him, and he can still, from 10 or 15 yards away, snap a throw off that looks like an NFL throw. But it's the lower body. It's when, at some point, are the knees and the legs and that base that you have start to maybe age and deteriorate. And as long as he keeps that in shape, could he play 4 or 5 more years? Why not?
Oh. I mean,
plus, most of their offense operates within 5 to 7 yards of the line of scrimmage. Like, he's not slinging it Brett Favre style, you know, 25 yards on a row. I mean, and he can make those throws. When he has to make those throws, he can. But the style that they play lends itself to him playing absolutely beyond this coming year. I would say 2-3 more years at least.
So we're bouncing around the league talking to various markets, and we wanted to get some Jets takes from you. Bob Wischusen's with us. We also wanted to get your take on what's going to happen with the Giants in the draft. So let's start with the Jets. Is there any shocker here? I mean, you would assume they're going defense with that pick, right, that first pick?
Yeah, I have said all along that I think they were going to take the guy that they think is that best defensive player available. And because this is such a heavy draft in the front seven, and they've needed a pass rusher, a disruptive player on the edge, certainly for a long time. There's a few of those. I mean, could Bosa possibly fall to them? I don't see how that's possible, but who knows? But if the quarterbacks do what quarterbacks have done in the past, and it doesn't look like that's going to be the case this year, but in years past, everybody at some point overrates the quarterbacks, and when they overrate the quarterbacks, teams get into a feeding frenzy at the top of the draft to get a quarterback. The Jets have a quarterback. They've got Sam Darnold. He's going to be their guy, undoubtedly, for the next 10 to 12 years minimum. He will be their guy. So because you know you've got that settled, you could ransom that pick for teams that are desperate to get up and get one. And maybe it's just a smokescreen. Maybe this will all change on draft night. But it just doesn't seem like this quarterback class is creating that feeding frenzy. You know, it seems like, to me, Haskins is still the wild card guy. I would draft Dwayne Haskins if I were the Giants. I would be worried somebody was going to snatch him up in front of me or maybe trade up with a team like the Jets to leapfrog me to go get him. I think he's going to be a really good NFL player, and to me, I'm stunned there isn't more buzz around him, but maybe it's just teams, you know, kind of quelling their own buzz because they're hoping they won't have to trade to go get him. Hopefully everybody will kind of act like they're not impressed with him, and at some point, you know, he'll slip to the team that really wants him. But, you know, if the Jets all of a sudden can create some kind of a bidding war for the third pick if somebody wants to come get Haskins, that's the only way I see them trading out. Okay. Other than that, I think they'll sit there, and I think they'll probably take the guy they think is the best front seven defensive player available.
But it sounds like you don't think they're in love with any guy in particular on the defensive line, whether it's Quinnen Williams or Ed Oliver or Josh Allen.
Well, all the hype right now is around Ed Oliver. Now, again, I don't know if that's, again, hype, because he seems to me to be, you know, like it. I mean, they theoretically want to stick with the 3-4, although I think they're going to play a whole bunch of different fronts. And your job, if you draft kind of a hybrid guy like that, is to use him and put him in the best possible situations. And if you think he's the next Aaron Donald, then by all means, go get him. But it seems like Quinnen Williams is much more of a finished and known product. You know, guys like Bosa and Allen, you know, are, you know, that commodity that NFL teams salivate over. They, you know, everybody wants that bend the edge, kill the quarterback pass rusher. So it seems odd. I mean, they specifically would really, I think, have to just absolutely adore Ed Oliver because he doesn't specifically check those boxes. He just kind of seems to be a freak for his measurables and what he's able to do. But yeah, I mean, I think that there's probably at least two or three guys between Bosa and Oliver and Quinnen Williams that, you know, they know at least one of those three guys is going to be there, and you're 99.9% sure two out of the three are going to be there. So unless they're able to hold the third pick up for a ransom for someone, I think they're taking one of those guys.
Man, and I've always thought defensive line is one of the harder positions to analyze because I think sometimes people get fooled by the look of the lineman, and then, you know, this is when you're talking about maybe a Quinnen Williams versus an Ed Oliver. I mean, I look at the Jets back, and you know, I complain about this pick because obviously it didn't work out. In 2012, the Jets had a chance to take Melvin Ingram at 16. They didn't. He went at 18 to the Chargers. He's still playing. The Jets got Quinn Coples, who looked the part at 6'6", 290.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets, you know, the worst possible example of that is Vernon Golston.
Oh, yeah.
Who, you know, had like 10 sacks his junior year at Ohio State, and like six of them came in two games. And the whole rest, but he went to the combine and like knocked 50 pegs off the stupid tower you jump up and hit pegs off of and ran the shuttle run like you couldn't believe. And all of a sudden they were like, oh my God, this guy's a freak. Well, turn the tape on and 9 out of his 12 games, he never showed up. Like what, you know, but they took him. So yeah, I mean, there are definitely, I'm at times baffled by what it is that catches the eye of the guys that are supposed to be the smartest guys in the room where this stuff is concerned. You know, I mean, give me a guy that, like, dominated in the SEC. You know, Ed Oliver could turn out to be a perennial All-Pro. And if he becomes the next Aaron Donald and the Jets take him, then Mike Maccagnan is a genius. But, you know, a guy that at a conference that produces as much, if not more, NFL talent than any conference in the country, and that guy's a dominant player in that conference, I don't know. To me, I might buy that stock, much more of a known entity than you know, looking for the gem that might make me look smarter than everybody else in the room down the road. But you know, that's just me. I think Quinnen Williams could be a really, really good player.
Well, somebody else from the SEC that could be really good, but I think maybe it'd be too confusing for you as a broadcaster would be Josh Allen. That'd be a nightmare twice a year.
Yeah. As long as the right Josh Allen is making a play.
Right.
Well, the other one is not going to make any. Yeah, the one in Buffalo is not making any, so you don't have to worry about that.
Actually, you want to jump in on this argument? Because Adam is a former Bills fan. He's annoyed that the Bills took quarterback Josh Allen. What do you think of Josh Allen, the quarterback?
He was the guy, I think, that probably had collectively the lowest floor and also the highest ceiling. So to me, he's kind of the Ed Oliver of that debate. Like, you think you might be drafting a freak at that position that can do everything, but you now have to really teach him how to play at a level that's nothing even remotely close to the level that he played at in college. And, you know, I mean, you're using the Carson Wentz model. You think you're going to get a guy that, you know, nobody even knew who he was 2 years ago, and now look at him. I mean, he, like, you know, but is he going to be Carson Wentz, or is he going to be Ryan Mallett? You know, is he going to be just this giant guy that can't accurately throw the ball? That's on your coaching staff to mold him, and you have to be patient with him. I mean, there's a guy that you have to think, if you have any belief that they're going to coach him well and that he's got a future, he's going to be a much different player in year three and four than he is in year one and two. A lot of guys make that leap from year one to year two. You have to hope, I think, he might make that leap from year three to year four just because of the, you know, the distance in the rearview mirror he is starting from a sophistication standpoint compared to the other quarterbacks he's going to be compared to in his own draft class.
Yeah, well, 50% passer in high school, 50% in college. He'll be 50% in the NFL, and the Bills will be terrible for another decade because that's just what they are. As far as the Jets go, we talk about the top of the draft. What else do they need? Obviously, that, you know, dynamic, game-changing, you know, pass rusher, a guy that can impact you on the defensive line. But what else are they going to be looking at as the draft progresses?
They need a corner. They need a center. They could probably use another receiver, although it's probably that would be more of a luxury. You know, they certainly have other needs. I mean, they need depth on the offensive line, you know, center specifically. Like, they could draft a guy in this draft that could become their starting center. I think the other four spots on their offensive line are set, but, you know, they are certainly far from a finished product. I mean, they need depth almost everywhere. I would say the only positions right now that they are just 100% set at are running back, obviously, because they went out and, you know, kind of got the crown jewel of the free agent market. Quarterback, obviously, because they got Sam Darnold, and he's going to be their guy for a decade plus. And safety. I mean, they've got a franchise safety and another guy in Marcus May that, if he can stay healthy, he and Jamal Adams should be an amazing combination. If May can stay on the field. Outside of those three positions, you can make an argument that they could add at every other position on their team. Inside linebacker, you know, they got a culture changer there in free agency as well, but, you know, they're not one player away. I mean, they might be a player or two away from being a playoff contender, a wild card contender, maybe a team that could win a game in the playoffs. But in terms of getting to the point where they have actually built a championship team, the depth of their roster is not there. They drafted terribly for a four-year period from like 2012 through 2015. And that stretch of drafts really depleted. You know, it's funny because everybody talked about, well, like, you know, they had $100 million in cap space. And, you know, they could go out and get it. And they got Le'Veon Bell. I mean, they had a really, you know, it was fun to talk about them and February and March when they're chasing all these big names on the free agent market. But the reason they had $100 million in cap space is because they had very few players on their team that were worth paying anything to because they didn't draft well for about 4 years. So, you know, the guts of their team, the soldiers that you have on a team in order to win, they don't have a lot of that. And they really need, I think, in this draft specifically, to shore up the middle of their roster because – you know, that is, in so many ways, you know, kind of those unsung heroes that fans that really pay attention realize are the reason that you win and lose.
Are the Giants actually behind the Jets in terms of the rebuild?
Yes.
Wow.
And they admitted that when they traded Beckham, which was the right thing to do, I think. But yeah, I mean, the Giants are... The Giants drafted every bit as poorly as the Jets did over a four-year period, but it was like the last 4 years. You know, they're right now in the middle of that. The Jets at least have had a couple of draft classes that have now kind of reinvigorated their team a bit. You know, last year's draft class produced a bunch of players, not just one or two. So the Giants are in the middle of a full teardown. I mean, when if you look at the guys they got rid of, you know, getting rid of basically their entire secondary, their overall, I mean, Saquon Barkley's now the best player that they've got, but certainly their second most talented player, trading him away right in the prime of his career, right after they paid him. You don't trade Odell Beckham if you think you can win.
Right.
You know, now the really confusing thing will be if they don't address quarterback in this draft. Because how can you say you're rebuilding and not start there? And there are guys in this draft that I think are worthy of starting with. You know, everybody's just going on the assumption they're going to take a quarterback. But if they don't take Haskins at number 6, I don't see how they're not settling if they take a quarterback at number 17.
Right.
Because if you take Daniel Jones or Locke, or I don't even think Locke will be around at that point, but, I mean, if the NFL has a consensus on a quarterback, that guy's not there at 17. Like, if you draft a quarterback at 17, you're either drafting a guy you don't even like that much because, you know, you would have taken him at 6 if you did, or you somehow think you've cracked the code with a guy that nobody else in the NFL really sees. Because if the rest of the league sees a real quarterback, that guy's not there at 17.
Right.
He goes in the top 5. So you are, by waiting for 17, either telling everybody that you've solved the Rubik's Cube with a certain player, or you're kind of admitting to the league, well, we kind of like this guy. We hope it works out with him. We're not really even sold ourselves, but we certainly weren't going to take him at 6. We're going to trade up to go get him. We don't have that kind of conviction, so we waited till 17, and lo and behold, he was there. I mean, they are absolutely in a full-on rebuild, but I don't know how you start this season with Eli and the backup quarterbacks they have on their roster and not having a quarterback out of this draft, and then turn around and convince your fan base that you have any idea what you're doing in your rebuild.
Well, I think you laid out the argument as to why they shouldn't take a quarterback this year, and this sucks in the New York market, but you basically have to tell the fans, hey, we're rolling forward with what we have. We didn't like the quarterbacks in this draft, and we may be terrible, and behind the scenes you're like, God, I hope we're terrible, and you get a top 3 pick, and then you actually get a chance at a quarterback you really like next year.
Yeah, I have to tell you, I mean, next year's quarterback class, like the next guy that I see coming out that will be everybody's, no doubt about it, number one choice is Trevor Lawrence at Clemson, and he's 2 years away. He's
right.
A true freshman this past year.
You don't like Tua enough in Herbert?
I mean, I think Tua has a chance to be a really good player. I personally am not 1,000% sold,
all right.
And I think Herbert made the smart move going back for another year. I mean, but I think he has to have a really good year this year to put himself back in the place in the conversation where everybody thought he would be in this draft. You know, and so, yeah, I mean, to me, like, the next guy that just checks every box, he's got the measurables, he's got the swagger, he can make every throw, the RPMs on the ball, the guy that right now, if you told me 2 years from now, this guy is absolutely, without a doubt, the number one pick in the NFL draft, it's Trevor Lawrence. So, I mean, the Giants right now are going to do what this year? Because they are planning on being at the top of the draft for Tua next year. After, by the way, they had the second pick in the draft last year and bypassed on all of those quarterbacks.
Yep.
I mean, they didn't take Rosen. They didn't take Darnold. They didn't take Allen. I mean, they didn't have a chance to take Baker Mayfield. And granted, Saquon Barkley could become the next, you know, Jim Brown. He also could spend his entire career, if they don't get the quarterback problem solved, being Barry Sanders. And, you know, he'll go to the Hall of Fame, but he won't come close to putting a ring on his finger. you know, so I, yeah, I, to me, and it's just certainly not breaking any new ground here, but you can't have a rebuild plan in the NFL. You can't have any kind of a plan in the NFL unless you start number one with your plan at quarterback. And you have a 100% crystal clear clarity vision you can sell your fans on, this is the guy we know can take us, you know, to that next level of quarterback. And obviously I'm speaking from experience. I'm the Jets announcer. So I've spent 18 years calling their games, and in year 18 they finally got that guy that they can legitimately sell the fan base. Even when they went up and got Mark Sanchez, who they traded up to get in the top six. They got him sixth or fifth. But it was clear that they were making that move to go get a guy. His first season, when they went to the championship game, I think he threw like 12 touchdowns and 20 interceptions. So, but like, there was never really even that feeling with him that, oh yeah, they've got their guy. There's no doubt about it. This is Sam Darnold is that. Sam Darnold is a 10 to 15 year NFL starter. I never felt that, you know, that kind of certainty about Mark Sanchez, and anybody that didn't have that certainty proved out to be right. The Giants have had that with Eli. I don't know that you can 100% sell your fan base that you know you've got that with a guy that you're going to go get with a 17th pick.
Right.
I just, if you know you've got a guy like that, he's not available at 17. Unless you're smarter than everybody else, you just see something that nobody else sees. I just don't know how you sell your fan base on that.
Bob was choosing with us last one. We got about a minute left. So if they don't look ahead at quarterback and say they don't take a quarterback in this draft, is it worth trading the 37th pick in the draft to get Josh Rosen?
In my opinion, well, I mean, the 37th pick in the draft to get Josh Rosen, I guess it would be very difficult to say that that would be a bad move for a guy that was drafted in the top 12 last year.
Right.
Having said that, what I think I know about Josh Rosen and what many people have told me about Josh Rosen, that is a huge buyer beware deal. I don't think Josh Rosen would do well in New York.
Okay.
I think that's a toxic media versus entitled kind of it's all about me personality guy at a position where you can't be entitled and all about you. You got to be the ultimate CEO and team leader. I mean, has there been one even unnamed Cardinal player? You know, like, I'm not even asking guys because certainly can't come out and put your name to it. If you know that Kingsbury's going to take Kyler Murray and that's going to now become your quarterback. But has there even been one unnamed Cardinal player to say, man, I really believe in Josh Rosen. I'm disappointed we're giving up on him.
We haven't seen it.
There hasn't even been one anonymous quote coming out and supporting Josh Rosen as the guy that the Cardinals want to hold on to. I don't know that any of his teammates are shedding a tear that he's leaving.
Yeah. Bob, we appreciate so much time. Thank you.